This is Back to You Box Office, episode number 262, for the weekend of June 3rd through June 5th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Lately, that's on-again, off-again type of thing. We missed the last 2 weeks, so we apologize for that. But we're back. Art, how are things going over there?
Things are going really well. And you know what? We tried really hard last week.
Yes, we did.
I mean, you know, there were technical difficulties that were beyond our ability to control.
Yeah.
So, but that was a full-on attempt that just did not come to fruition.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are completely dependent on Skype, so.
Right, and
more to the point, you know, we could go to Google Hangouts, but it still would be, you know, internet-related, so, yeah.
I was out of town, I had no reliable internet, and we just couldn't make it work. But we tried really hard, even though I was on vacation, so I want everybody to know we get full credit for trying really hard.
This is a cash only business. Okay.
Cash only business. You know, I 100% full refund.
Okay. All right. Oh, there you go. What's zero times zero? Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So let's talk about some other zeros. Last week's box office results. So, for the weekend of May 27th through May 29th, also known as Memorial Day weekend, here's your top five. At number one, to the surprise of no one, X-Men Apocalypse. At number two, I probably should mention that it made $65.8 million. At number two, we have Alice Through the Looking Glass at $26.9 million. At number three, The Angry Birds Movie at $18.8 million. Number four, we have Captain America Civil War at $15.4 million. And at number five, Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising at $4 million. And so there's your top five. The number three, four, and five movies, 50, 53, and 57% drops.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty harsh. And, well, you know, what do you expect with those two big movies coming out?
Yeah, you know, Alice. What are you going to say about Alice?
Well, I have stuff to say later, even though I didn't actually see it.
Yeah, so the opening for the original Alice is $116 million.
Yeah, no. Wow. That's not a great opening for X-Men either.
Well, you jumped the gun a little bit because I was just going to talk about X-Men. So if you looked at, and I'm not gonna dabble with adjusted for inflation and all that other BS. If you just look at the opening, opening numbers for a three-day weekend, where do you think that slots in? The X-Men and Wolverine movies.
Okay.
And Deadpool.
fine. Make this hard. Okay, so X-Men movies, we have the first three X-Men movies, then we have First Class, then we have Future Past, and then we have Wolverine, and then we have the other Wolverine, and we have Deadpool. So that's 8, 9. So there's 9 total movies. I'm going to guess this is with a $65 million, it's going to put it at somewhere on the bottom half. I'm going to say number 6.
6.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, even though Days of Future Past had a $90 million opening in about the same year. I'm sorry, about the same month. Last Stand even did better than the other two, not combined or anything, but it came in at $102 million. Uh-huh. That was also, I believe, Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what this means, but they're not really enthused.
Okay. So wait. So I thought you had these numbers. So where does it come in?
Oh, okay. At number one, we have Deadpool, $132 million. Number two, X-Men The Last Stand, $102 million. If you're rounding, $103. Days of Future Past at $90. At number four, we have X2, X-Men United at $85 million. Also, a hair under that is X-Men Origins Wolverine And then we have Apocalypse, and then at 7, First Class, which hurts my heart because I think that's my favorite one.
Okay, so you're saying I nailed it?
Yeah,
Is
you
that what you're
did.
saying?
Yeah.
Nice.
At number 8, we have X-Men, $54.4 million, and Wolverine at 53.1.
That was a complete and total blind guess, but I figured I'm looking at the number, I'm listening to what people are saying, and I'm like, I'm gonna put it right there at 6. Yeah, go me. I'm awesome.
Yeah. I'm not disputing that, at least for now.
For now. But we keep hanging around with each other for some reason. I'm gonna say it's because we kind of like each other, just a little.
Yeah, it's good you think that. Okay. No, you want to bro out right now? That no, it's
I'm just saying, pretty awesome.
All right. So I can't disagree with that. Okay.
But yeah, that's a soft opening. That's weak. I mean, for this day and age, and for as anticipated as the movie was, I'm still hearing good things, but we'll see how it performs in the long run. And I've also got some other things to talk about it and this weekend later on.
I really have only one person's short review of it, but I think he said something that's going to make me totally invalidate all future reviews from this person because he was less disappointed in this movie than he was in Civil War. So, yeah.
Wait, he was less disappointed in this movie. So that means he was more disappointed in Civil War.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't list anything this person ever had to say again.
Okay. All
But
right.
whatever.
So, moving on. Let's talk about what's going on in the theater this weekend. So we have two movies coming out wide release. Art, why don't you tell us about the first one?
Okay, top of the list, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. This is 17% rotten on the tomato meter. 94% want to see it. Michelangelo, Donatello, Leonardo, and Raphael return to theaters this summer to batter bigger, badder villains alongside April O'Neil, Megan Fox, Verne Fenwick, Will Arnett, and a newcomer, a hockey-masked vigilante, Casey Jones, Stephen Amell. After supervillain Shredder, Brian T, escapes custody, he joins forces with mad scientist Baxter Stockman, Tyler Perry, and two dim-witted henchmen, Bebop, Gary Anthony Williams, and Rocksteady, WWE superstar Stephen Seamus Farrelly, to unleash a diabolical plan to take over the world. As the Turtles prepare to take on Shredder and his new crew, they find themselves facing an even greater evil with similar intentions, the notorious Krang. Rated PG-13 for sci-fi, action, violence, action, adventure, science fiction, and fantasy comedy. Written by David Green, sorry, directed by David Green. Written by Josh Applebaum, Andrei Nemec, and Josh Applebaum.
I was just thinking, so nice he had to write it twice. Okay, go
Yes.
ahead.
Runtime 1 hour and 37 minutes. We have Megan Fox, Will Arnett, Stephen Amell, Laura Linney.
They
Blah blah
extremely
blah.
buried the lead. Who's playing Krang?
Oh, Brad Garrett. Nice.
What? Okay. Yeah.
Tony Shalhoub is Splinter. Was he Splinter before?
I believe so.
Okay. I believe you. I just didn't remember.
Well, hold your tickets, folks, because they actually have two people down as Krang, Brad Garrett and Fred Armisen.
I wonder if one is the voice and the other is the physical.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And the notorious Krang. Interesting. So yeah, I'm interested. I want to see this. I really enjoyed the first one.
Okay, I was just realizing something.
Yes.
The original April O'Neil, she was in the other Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the one that came out a couple years ago.
Wait, what do you mean the original April
Well,
O'Neil?
I mean the original. Well, let me. No, she was not. Okay, all right. So what I'm talking about, and sorry for Googling while in the middle of the show here, but Judith Hogue, who was the original April O'Neil, I guess is going to be in this movie that's coming out this weekend. So keep your eye out.
Yeah, okay. So like the original April O'Neil from the first set of live
Yeah.
action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Okay.
Yeah, she. Let me go back. She's not, her character name is not listed, so interesting. Maybe. All right.
Okay.
So
So
you're gonna go see this?
I might. But okay, so have you ever read any of the comics? Have you ever seen them, looked over any of them? Have you seen any of them in the back of the Palladium Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles RPGs? There's some snippets in there. Anything? Nothing?
Way back when, I think I read the first four.
Okay. So I think it's interesting that, do you realize that Casey Jones, April O'Neil, Baxter Stockman, a lot of these original characters, they were all black. And then they got whitewashed for the cartoon series and then for the movies. And now here we have, you know, somebody who wasn't originally white in the comic or wasn't Asian, but is a villain, and now they've gone back to a black person. And I just think that's interesting and maybe a little racist. Maybe not. Not sure how I feel about that.
I think it's racist.
Am I reading
some level
too much into it?
I think they just want to... I don't know. Maybe they want to appeal to a wider audience.
They're trying to diversify a little, but heaven forbid they do it with any of the main characters.
I mean, I was just listening to the 300th episode of Happy Jacks. Congratulations on 300, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
They were talking about 21.
Right. Listen to that today.
In the 21 book, I guess all the characters were Asians, and they made white in the movie.
In the actual what happened based on a true story, they were all Asians.
Yeah, true.
So, and they had one Asian, he was comedic relief.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's absolutely true. A lot of that goes on. And the oppression your people visit upon us.
Thanks,
Jeff.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, no, I think...
Isn't that part of the problem, lumping...
Yes, together. Well, you know what? It's been done to me a while. Two wrongs don't make a right, but I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it anyway.
Good thing you said it correctly. Anyways.
But yeah, I'm interested in this. I did not hate the first movie. I enjoyed it for what it was. It was a popcorn movie. It was an action romp, and I don't have that nostalgia rage that you ruined my childhood. My childhood is what it is, and this new thing doesn't affect that in any way. And I just hope it's enjoyable for someone else. And I, like I said, could sit down and eat some popcorn and watch that first movie and thoroughly enjoy it. And I'm hoping this will be the same.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to see it in a theater, but my heart's not going to be broken if we don't.
Right. I've got to get some early reactions from some people to see whether or not I can take Aubrey to see it. Because if I can, what was the last cartoon thingy that just came out?
Zootopia?
No, after Zootopia. I don't know. There's something
Ratchet
else.
Ratchet and Clank?
Nope. Saw that one too. I was hoping to see a double feature of Alice and something else, and I am totally blanking. That's okay. I'll come up with it later. Why don't we move on? But I'm hoping maybe Brittany thinks Alice might not be appropriate for Aubrey, so maybe we'll see Turtles and the other instead when I remember what it is at the double feature of the drive-in this weekend. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how that goes. What else do we got, sir?
All right, so my movie is Me Before You. 62% on the tomato meter. As we record this on Tuesday, we only have 13 reviews, so 8 fresh and 5 rotten. 95% of the Rotten Tomatoes users want to see it. Around 12,000 people voted. Here's your description. Adapted from the best-selling novel by Jojo Moyes, Me Before You tells the story of the unexpected relationship that blossoms between a contented small-town English woman and the wealthy paralyzed Londoner who hires her as his caretaker. Theater director Thea Sherrick makes her feature directorial debut with this MGM/New Line Cinema co-production. PG-13 for thematic elements and some suggestive material. This is a drama directed by Thea Sherrick, Jojo Moyes. This will cost you 1 hour and 50 minutes. And we have Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. Charles Dance, who looks familiar, I just can't place it. Jenna Louise Coleman is in this. I guess she was a companion from Doctor Who, if you're into that kind of thing.
Okay.
So yeah, this actually looks that this might be a sweet movie to go check out. I don't know. What do you think, Art?
Yeah, it's not really grabbing me. I haven't seen the trailer though. It could be an interesting date night movie. but I'm not sure. Angry Birds is the other thing that just came out recently that I have not yet seen yet. So and yeah, so Aubrey is all about the Angry Birds lately.
I guess glowing praise for this movie comes from Entertainment Weekly, Chris Nashawaty. It may not rise to the level of a classic three-hanky tearjerker, but it's proof that sometimes one or two hankies is more than enough to get the job done.
That's cute.
Yeah. All right. So that's going to conclude movies that are coming out this weekend. So now let's get over to share time. Art, what have you been doing with yourself?
Okay, well, I just took a 9-day trip to go back home, and we did so many things. Watching movies did not actually happen to be one of them. There was a lot of Netflix consumed, random, totally random things, like, you know, I don't know if it was two or three seasons of the Angry Birds cartoon that is very much based off of the video game, where it's actually like little round birds, nothing like the anthropomorphized Angry Birds of the latest movie that I want to go see. Just weird stuff, Canimals, larva is literally a couple of maggots living in a sewer, and it is life and death and farts and gross, and Aubrey ate it up like it was going out of style. And there were multiple seasons of that because they're little 2 or 3 minute vignette shorts. Same thing with Canimals. They're animals that are shaped like kind of cans, like cans of tuna, mm-hmm. with the animal bits that kind of pop out, and they live a secret life when nobody's looking. And it was just really bizarre. And you know, but we would be up way too late most nights. And it was just a way to wind down at the end of the night while we were vacationing. And they were interesting. They were different. They were not movies, but still entertaining their own ways. But we did so many things. We went to the beach, and we went swimming, and we went to zoo, and we went to the children's museum, and we visited with all kind of people, and just played a ton of games, stayed out till like 5 a.m. for the typical game night, completely shut the place down, helped the guy put all the way the games at the end of the night, stayed and talked with he's the manager at the place where they have the game night. It's a giant bar, restaurant, grill, theater, venue, blah, 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 blah. So I got to see all the behind the scenes, where they run all the taps, where they store everything, the huge underground kind of catacombs that run under the entire place. Saw the sun come up and just had a blast. Played Twilight Imperium 3 for 10 hours on the Saturday before we left. Stopped in St. Louis both on the way there and on the way back. On the way there, visited with Tony Mast and his wife and his two kids and Adam and Lena. And then on the way back, we only met up with Lena because Tony was already out of town on his vacation out to Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
And so had fun, did more swimming, hung out, had dinner. Oh, you know what? We did watch like a good portion of Last Holiday. Me, Lena, Brittany, and Aubrey. The Queen Latifah, LL Cool J, and had some laughs. But mostly just hung out, talked, swim, ate. So that was nice, getting to stop in on the other podcast a couple of times. It made for a nice break in the day of not doing the whole trip all in one shot. So all in all, had a really good time. Had a cookout, nice cookout at a friend's house, and he has a 10-year-old daughter who immediately took to Aubrey, and they had a lot of fun together. And, yeah, that was it. Played so many games, saw so many people, had lots and lots of fun, didn't watch hardly any movies. So how about yourself, good sir?
Well, considering we haven't recorded in 3 weeks, I haven't watched a whole lot of movies either. Other than the fact that my daughter and her friend really wanted to go see Civil War. So I saw Civil War again.
Okay.
And I'm starting to realize that maybe my glasses were tinted a little darker when I watched it basically at 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. That I think I really what I'm trying to say is I enjoyed it the second time even more, I think.
Okay.
You know, with the Marvel movies, you kind of are trying to pick up on Easter eggs and that kind of thing. Yeah, it just seems like that, you know, you're trying to pay attention to everything. You know, in the second one, you kind of know what's going to happen, so you're not as, you know, you're kind of, my eyes were a little relaxed, I think, kind of thing.
Okay.
Where I kind of picked up on more, kind of thing. One of the things that I complained about the first time was they don't really explain who Agent 13, who she's working for. And I do have to say that I did learn this after watching The Winter Soldier, is that she clearly has a CIA cap at the shooting range at the end of Winter Soldier.
Right.
So she's definitely CIA. But I did. The only other thing I really have to say is I don't think I'd take my daughter to the theater anymore. Because she had to tell me during the Spider-Man fight scene, did you know that that actor was in Billy Elliot?
Yeah.
So she Googled him during that part. And then her friend, before the movie even started, I have a question. Is Superman in this? Now,
are you sure she wasn't trolling you?
No, she wasn't. Okay. Well, she did. She asked my daughter, not me.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing. I don't think she was trolling.
Just checking.
It's almost, I was wondering at one point how many people out there still haven't seen a Marvel movie.
Right.
Or in Civil War, do we still need to explain who Iron Man is, who Captain America is, who, I was just going to say Hulk, he's not in it. I was just going to say Thor, he's not in it. Who Black Widow is. But just like I'm going to sit here and say, well, how many people don't watch sports? I'm sure it's not that many, but I'm sure there's millions of people that don't watch sports.
Right.
So it always, you know, kind of reminds me that not everyone is, you know, likes the things, same things that you and I do.
Right. Or, you know what, it's not even that she doesn't like it. She likes it enough to go out and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But people who don't have any real concept of who's who, you know, you could, I could watch sports. I know what sports are. I understand the rules of the game. But if you start specifically talking about a player, I probably couldn't tell you what team he was on unless he was somebody extremely famous. You know,
right.
or, you know, you could start talking about a team and I might not be 100% sure. Is that a National League team? Is that an American League team?
Right.
Is that, you know, which conference is that football team in? I could take a guess, but I wouldn't be positive. That could be the same thing. You know, is that a Marvel character? Is that a DC character?
Right.
To somebody who's on the outside who doesn't pay as much attention, you know, who it's just not as invested, you know, I could totally see that.
Right. That doesn't, yeah, and a certain segment of population that doesn't realize that if you ask if someone from DC is in a Marvel movie, that you just cause a migraine to about 10% of the crowd.
But they really shouldn't, you know, unless
yeah.
they're the same
no,
person
I know.
Who, you know, you say, oh, Daryl Strawberry, who's that? Where?
Right.
What team did he play on again? Not
100%
sure.
Or asking in a baseball game how much a touchdown is.
Right.
kind of that thing, I think. Okay, the second thing I watched is we didn't really discuss it, but we just ended up showing my daughter 16 Candles because, you know, she's at that age. And
right.
I think ultimately that movie is mainly about freshmen in high school. So we showed it to her and there was some smoking that I kind of had to cringe about. But she liked it. Also I don't know if there will be a Long Duck Dong if we had a remake.
No.
Of that movie.
So racist.
But the one thing I will say that kind of surprised me is, you know, the prom queen character in this movie. I don't remember ever seeing her in anything else. Because sometimes you'll see, you know, some actors that kind of catch and they're like in a lot of movies of the same genre. So I looked up who that was, and the actress's name is Haviland Morris. And so I was interested to see what she has been in, and if she's still working, is she still on TV? Because, you know, that was, I don't want to say a long time ago, but it's not, that was 84. So
yeah, I was going to say
32 years ago.
Yeah.
But she is actually on one of your favorite shows, Elementary.
Is she?
She plays Dr. Jane Mortimer.
Huh.
She's got dark hair now. She doesn't have blonde hair.
I don't recognize the name, but yeah. I haven't watched since like beginning of season 3, I think, is where I fell off.
Yeah, she, well, it doesn't go into when she started, but anyways.
Right.
I just thought that was
important. I'd have to see what she looks like now to see if I recognized her. Yeah. I'll look into that while we continue talking.
Okay, and the last thing I'm going to talk about, well, kind of, is I've discovered a new sitcom. I love sitcoms, but this is not really a sitcom. This is a show that should never have been on TBS. This is definitely, I think, a Showtime, maybe Cinemax. Well, Cinemax doesn't do well. I guess they do. This show is called The Detour. And forgive me if I've talked about this before, but there is nobody that you'd recognize. But this is hilarious. This is probably what should have been the Vacation reboot movie. I just love the writing and being a parent on a road trip. I do have to warn you, there is a lot of, I don't want to say drug use, but drugs are kind of a part of the story. And if you have a problem with watching projectile vomiting, you probably don't want to watch this one either.
Okay.
But it is definitely an adult comedy, even though there's kids in it. Not that they show, a lot of bits flying around. It's just, it's basically just, real life for adults kind of thing. And I don't want to say real life. I just want to say, if you've had one of those days and end up being that one day over an entire nightmare vacation. So it's up to episode 10. I was talking to someone at work and they asked me, can you stream it on TBS? I said, I don't know if TBS streams, but, I'm sure they'll do marathons. I think they did a marathon on Sunday. But I'm enjoying The Detour. And how are you feeling about Warcraft? Are you going to go see Warcraft?
Probably not, unless somebody I know wants to really go see it.
Because I love Duncan Jones, so I got to see where he went with it. But, how far are they going to let the director go as opposed to we need these bullet points to be hit? You know how that goes. And I want to talk about one more thing. Do you see the Finding Dory trailer?
I haven't seen. I saw like the first one where she's talking about remembering and they follow her. She's sleepwalking. Is there a new one past that?
Yeah, there's a new one, and it looks like at first glance that it's just a by the numbers retelling of Finding Nemo, but with Dory.
Okay.
It seems like she's going to hit the same points where, she gets captured and all other stuff. I'm not saying I'm not going to go watch it. I mean, Finding Nemo is like one of my favorite Father's Day type movies. And it's coming out that weekend. So, and I regret not seeing Nemo on the big screen. I mean, cause visually it's really great. So, that's going to end my share time. So, why don't we transition over the news? So, Art, do you have anything to tell us about from your news desk?
Yes, from the news desk of Mr. Santos. We were talking about how the box office did this Memorial Day weekend, and this caught my eye. Why Memorial Day isn't as good of a box office weekend as people think. It used to be that Memorial Day was the opening weekend of summer movie season. After months of crap that couldn't get a winter tentpole release date, it was the weekend that good movies came out to play again. So they say a couple of things. Marvel has cornered the market for the month. Going back as far as Spider-Man 3 in 2007, Marvel movies have tended to make the first weekend in May their home base of operation. And it's interesting that, they line up with Free Comic Book Day, they get a good synergy going, and but it just how many more big movies are hitting earlier. They talk about Zootopia just going and going, coming up on what did you say earlier? It was like over 900 million, right? Coming up on $1 billion for Zootopia worldwide. Which is interesting because that is itself coming up on a benchmark of it's the second highest grossing original story. So not a sequel, not based on a true story, not tied into any other type of franchise. So I thought that was very interesting with the off season just getting so much more competitive. Even that they are not just letting people sit on that weekend anymore, because like this year we saw X-Men Apocalypse and Alice Through the Looking Glass. If X-Men Apocalypse had been by itself, and if you just said, for argument's sake, that the almost $30 million that Alice made went to X-Men Apocalypse instead, that would have made that $100 million opening weekend, which would have set it much higher, in that, those was it, 9 movies, $100 million would have put it much more closer to the top half, number 4 maybe out of 9 instead of number 6. That's significant. So I just thought that was interesting that Memorial Week Day weekend isn't what it used to be.
It seems like, I don't know, to me it seems like less people are going to the movies. I mean, obviously you have those tent poles that are looks like it making more and more movies. I mean, it making more and more money, but it just seems like when you look at the 3, the 4, and the 5, I mean, it's really low. I remember a couple of years ago, maybe we might see maybe 1 to 4 all be around 30 or 20 to 30 million. And then, number 5 is now like 8 million kind of thing. So anyways, okay, well, I don't know if this is too much of a story, but I'm going to report it anyways. Apparently Disney is panicking about where they're at with Rogue One.
Uh-oh.
Apparently they've been doing focus groups for Rogue One, and from what I've read from The Hollywood Reporter and from Deadline, that it is a dark movie, and they want to do reshoots to make it more in line with The Force Awakens or The Force Awakens, and probably have it more to where it appeals to everybody. And I don't know, it just seems like Disney doesn't understand what they're doing. Because I'm fine if you're gonna make if you're gonna because here's the thing. When I was hearing the original pitch about what they want this movie to be, they wanted to have it be a straight up military movie, similar in tone to Zero Dark 30. And so they get the guy who did Jurassic World, and he's giving them what I thought they were asking for. And now Disney's pumping the brakes because they want everyone to go see it.
Well, is it negative reaction to is this more fallout from Man of Steel? Or not Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman. We're getting too dark, too much dark, nobody wants dark, kind of a thing.
I don't know. I feel like that this might be the Empire in its prime, and it needs to be dark.
I'm not disagreeing with that. From a story point of view, I don't disagree with that at all, not one bit. From a marketing research point of view, that a few pieces of bad data and a few tangential dots that you're connecting, that could be a whole nother story.
I don't know. You would think that Disney has a little room for error there, that they don't have to hit home runs every time out. I mean, 'cause even if they do get a Batman versus Superman, you're not going to see people being removed out of their positions and new people being hired kind of thing. I mean, I would hope that there's definitely a plan there that, they can weather another John Carter, I think. Not saying that this is ever going to be another John Carter, because you could probably just put Wookiees playing volleyball for 2 hours and you're still going to get 100 million on opening weekend.
Probably, yeah. The drop off would be significant.
Well, obviously it's not going to be your kid film, but anyways, so, and one reporter said this isn't necessarily disaster because no one ever found out if there were reshoots for Star Wars 7 or Episode 7. So, maybe Maybe it is okay that they realize that their shit does stink a little bit and need to make sure to get rid of it, not saying that everything we do is gold. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still all in, and I can't hardly wait,
Oh no,
and we'll
it's
see what
not.
happens, but
Yeah,
yeah.
just something to think about when you're on the. Or, well, if you're like me, you're on the freeway and you got nothing else to think about. All
Right.
right, Art, what do you got next?
Okay. Mary Poppins 2 is officially happening. Have you heard about this? Okay.
I died alone inside, but go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I was hoping I would read this and that they would be getting what's her name back to continue playing Mary Poppins, because she still looks fantastic. Why am I blanking on her name?
Julie Andrews?
Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, because what? It's been 50 years? 40 years?
No, it's been 50, I think.
50.
It was 60s, wasn't
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, but like late 60s. So 50 years, let's say, give or take.
it? 64.
64. Okay. 64 years. Wow.
No, I'm sorry. 1964.
Oh, she was okay.
1964. So we're looking at 52.
52 years. Okay. So, you know, and you could easily move the timeline forward. Let's just say 50 years, and have her dealing with the grandchildren of the original children. Whatever. So yeah, I don't know that I'd die inside. I mean, they could still do something really, really good. But
By the way, Julie Andrews is 81.
81, 81. How long? Oh wow. Anyway, you know, it was just making me think of the what was that? The Princess Diaries with Anne Hathaway, Julie Andrews. But anyway, It's definitely happening. Oh, you know what? It's right here in the thing. Sequel to 1964 Mary Poppins. Bleh. Meh.
Sorry.
I read it and I just forgot. Anyway, Emily Blunt has long been rumored to be playing the magical nanny, will indeed be playing the new version of Mary Poppins. Joining her is Lin-Manuel Miranda, who will be playing a new character named Jack. Jack will essentially be a new version of the Dick Van Dyke's Bert. So yeah, moving forward, it'll be interesting to see what they do with this very magical. You know, Mary Poppins, I think, holds a special place in everyone's heart. Anybody who ever took the time to watch the movie and appreciate it for what it was, and I think get even more of an appreciation with the Tom Hanks. I am just having a night.
Saving Mr. Banks.
Saving Mr. Banks. Oh my goodness. I think I worked too hard today after coming back from vacation, because my brain is just not working on firing on all cylinders over here. But so I'm interested. I'd like to see where this is going. I like Emily Blunt a lot. I don't know who this other guy is. Do you recognize the name?
No.
Yeah. They also have a little thumbnail of him, but I don't recognize the face either. So I'll have to do some research and see who that is. But I think it's interesting. I can see why you say you die a little inside. I'm an optimist. I'll hope for the best.
That's probably why it's good that we're on a podcast together. Okay, my last news story.
Okay.
Get ready for summer on Netflix US. So here's what's going to be on Netflix for the month of June. Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park Lost World, and Jurassic Park 3. As of June 22nd, you're going to be able to watch the last year's Academy Award winner Spotlight. And then we have June 24th, The Fundamentals of Caring, which follows Paul Rudd playing Ben, a writer turned caregiver, and his charge, a foul-mouthed British teen with muscular dystrophy, played by Craig Roberts, as they take an impromptu road trip. In July, we have The Big Short.
I've heard a lot of good things about that one.
Yeah, it's supposedly funny about, the subprime
Yeah.
lending market kind of thing. Next one is Brahmanaman. If I'm saying it right, that's July 7th. This is a Netflix original, and what they're trying to do is they're bringing the ribaldry of American Pie, but they're going to put it in India in the 80s. Okay. And then for one of our super fans of Backseat Producers. There is a movie called Tallulah, which is a this was a Sundance breakout and Netflix original. Unites Allison Janney and Ellen Page in the story of dissatisfied Beverly Hills housewife and the babysitter she hires. And we're also going to be getting Back to the Future and Lethal Weapon. And also, let me see, in August, we're going to have The Fast and the Furious, The Wedding Planner, and St. Vincent. And then we're going to talk about September a little bit. In September, Netflix will become the exclusive U.S. pay TV home of the latest films from Disney, Marvel, Lucasfilm, and Pixar.
I saw this. I actually, that was going to be my finish up.
So, wow. So, no Civil War on HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, or anywhere else. Netflix, no. Netflix only.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I feel like, I looked this story up, because I felt like I was already starting to see a lot more Disney stuff popping up on Netflix already. Like, we're talking like third tier stuff, but it's still, it was catching my eye. I was like, well, what? I thought this wasn't going into effect until later. But I didn't see anything in the article I read about anything earlier coming in. But,
yeah, you know, this is surprising because we keep hearing from Netflix, you know, because a lot of critics are saying your streaming titles are going, keep going down, down, down.
Right.
And they said they want, well, first of all, we only want to stream stuff that you can only get on Netflix. We don't want to stream anything you can find on other service. And second of all, we're putting all our money into original programming.
Right. Well, apparently they're putting a big chunk of their money into nailing down some very specific programming.
Yeah.
Which, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that is going to be, I feel like that's going to bring a huge influx of subscribers to get access to that content.
Yeah.
Because if I was not subscribing before, that is something that would get me to subscribe immediately.
Yeah. All right. That was my news last story. So what do you got left?
That was the last thing I was going to finish up with. You swept it out from underneath me. So good job, sir.
Well, that is one heck of a way to end this week's episode of Back to You Box Office. So everyone, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Back to You Box Office. If you'd like to leave us feedback or find past shows or see what movies they're talking about on the other show, Backseat Producers, you can find us at backseatproducers.com. Other than that, thank you for listening. Take care of yourselves, and we will catch you next week. Art, anything else to say?
No, that's it. Have a good night.